Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 76, entitled Optimizing Your Health, we chat with world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Stephen Cabral. Alright guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenson from EliteManMagazine.com, and my guest today is none other than Dr. Stephen Cabral. Stephen, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Thank you very much for having me.
I appreciate it, man. As a lot of you listeners know, Stephen will be one of our speakers in the conference this summer in August, so I'm pretty excited to kind of give you a sneak peek on what he'll be talking about. We kind of just mentioned it a few minutes ago, but yeah, we're going to be covering some hormone topics, some energy topics, optimizing sort of your life if you're an entrepreneur. Is that right, Stephen?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so many people think about just having to use pure willpower to drive themselves forward in life. And the issue with willpower is that it's not really renewable. Eventually, you do burn yourself out, and you think that you're on the wrong path simply because you're burnt out, and that's just truly not the case. When you wake up with abundant energy, you're able to kind of get through those tasks that are needed, even though those aren't the most fun, to get you towards your goal. And so that's what I help a lot of executives and a lot of entrepreneurs do, is to essentially optimize their bodies, because their minds know what they want to do. It's just sometimes the body isn't willing to cooperate. And when I say body, I also mean mind as well. It's that willpower. It's that natural energy to be able to successfully move forward.
Cool, man. And for those listeners kind of who aren't as familiar with you, can you just sort of quickly talk about what your background is, and also you know, where you got your sort of doctor moniker from, like title. What is your sort of background and study?
Sure. Yeah, so I actually, my background is just a quick throwback, is that when I was 17 years old, I one day woke up and literally my eyes were swollen shut. My glands were literally the size of golf balls, and I couldn't swallow. Wow. So I tried to get out of bed. My legs were extremely weak. I had to lie back down. And I realized there was something really wrong with me. This was just out of the blue, or so it seemed. So essentially, that started a series of doctor's appointments. I had to leave school for a period of months and find out what was going on with my body. The issue was that literally the best doctors in Boston, and we have some of the best conventional medicine hospitals in the entire world. We're rated in the top 10 with two of our hospitals. None of those doctors could figure out what was wrong with me, because my blood looked okay. And so from a disease perspective, I didn't have any disease. But from a subclinical, which means kind of like below the disease level, my body was a mess. I had no energy. I could barely walk up. I couldn't even walk up a flight of stairs in my own home. I couldn't make it to the second floor of my house without actually having to lie down on the steps, because my heart would just beat through my chest at like 150, 160 beats per minute just walking up a flight of stairs. Wow. For most guys, that would be like doing a heavy set of squats for like 20 repetitions. But for me, it was just walking up six steps. So all I knew, there was something seriously wrong with me. Doctors knew there was something wrong with me, except a few that couldn't figure it out. And they just said it was all in my head. And that's obviously not a very nice thing that a 17-year-old, you know, guy wants to hear, is that he might never get well again because no one could figure out what's wrong with him.
Yeah.
So, you know, this was 20 years ago, and so it was before the internet, and I had to read books, and so I just started literally devouring books, 2, 3, 4, 5 books a week, and I was just on a quest to, if no one else could help me, I was going to help myself. And that's really, I guess that's how the entrepreneur in me started, is that I had to become very self-reliant. My parents were absolutely fantastic. You know, they pulled out any type of connections they could use, and you know, got me into, again, to the best doctors, but it didn't get me anywhere. So I became self-reliant. I eventually made connections. I found some naturopathic doctors who led me to the path I'm at today. And basically, over a period of years, I got well. Now, if I had what I had back then, it would have probably taken 4 to 6 months to get well, not years and years and years, because what I had was just more severe. It wasn't one thing. It was multi-body systems kind of shutting down. So anyway, what that led me to is I became a personal trainer when I was in college. I became a nutritionist after that. I became a certified strength and conditioning specialist, work with Olympic athletes, world champions, NBA players, NFL players, all sorts of, you know, great people. And then, of course, you know, everyday athletes as well, everyday body transformation clients. Then after that, I went back and got my doctorate degree as a naturopathic doctor. So it's a doctoral of naturopathy. And did my boards, got board certified. I have two locations in Boston, and things are thriving. You know, they're going well. And it's the reason is that the bottom line is that there is always an answer to whatever you're dealing with, whether it's as an entrepreneur in business or whether it's your health or whether it's your weight loss, whatever it is, there's always an answer. And the truth is that sometimes it's just not right in front of you. It takes a little bit of digging, takes a little bit of perseverance. But in the end, I'm very confident now that we can find the answer to anybody's issue in terms of health. Sometimes it's not very straightforward, but sometimes it is, and they just haven't seen it for themselves.
Dude, I love some of your answers right there, some of the things you said. I'm going to kind of just go through them one at a time if I can
and sort of
break them down a little bit. One of the first things I really like that you said – well, actually the last thing I like you said – the most is that there's always an answer, there's always a solution to your problems, whether that's entrepreneurial kind of questions you have or whether that's your health. Like, we all have problems with our health. I mean, every single one of us, I think, has some kind of thing about them that, you know, health-wise, that they'd like to improve, or maybe or that, you know, it's kind of holding them back in some way. And the fact that there is a solution out there, I think, is reassuring in a lot of ways. But another thing you said, one of the first things you said was that you became self-reliant, and it kind of reminded me of a story. I have a similar one where that, you know, when I was about 17 as well, I had really bad tendonitis, golfer's elbow and tennis elbow in both my elbows. And I went to a bunch of doctors and stuff, tried to fix it, you know, did all the rice and the icing and, what's it called? When you're using the lotions there and putting that the thing that the baby they use for ultrasound, they did ultrasounds.
Right. And, yeah, and the tens units. Yeah.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff, man. It ended up being tendinosis. It was a chronic problem I had, and this was really when I was getting into fitness and stuff. I was starting to gain muscle and I looked good, and you know, it just set me back. It took me a good 6 months before I actually was, you know, able to really get back in the gym and start working out like I was. And I lost like 20 pounds or so. I was really skinny again. But it wasn't until I went out on my own and just started doing my own research that I figured out the solution of the problem. As it turns out, like I said, it was tendinosis, and I started doing like negative repetitions, negative lifts, and it ended up just like curing out sort of like the crumbled up tendons that I was having or I was getting from lifting too much, and it sort of smoothed them out. But long story short, yeah, it just kind of reminded me of that, where that, you know, I went to a bunch of doctors, they kind of just gave me the same thing, wasn't working, didn't really help me at all. But it wasn't until I went out of the way and kind of went on my own path that I was able to sort of get over this. And I really like your story about that as well, man.
And I think what you talked about too, and I don't even know if you noticed it, is that it took you 6 months to get better. Everyone is looking for an overnight cure, but the overnight cure is simply a quick fix. And so, you know, that's the thing. You got better within a 6 month period of time. That's not the rest of your life. You know, 6 months is not a bad trade-off for being fully optimized and feeling great for the rest of your life. Like, that's what I tell people is, yeah, you're going to have to put in a little bit of work. Now, symptoms can go. I mean, if you're dealing with digestive symptoms, bloating, gas, heartburn, any of those things, those can go away within a week or two. That's minor stuff. But when you're dealing with something major, do it right and do it right the first time. That's always what I recommend. And then again, like, those are the lasting results. A lot of people forget that our bodies don't turn over overnight, every night, which means that the cells in our bodies, the red blood cells, they last 120 days. So that means we don't regenerate those cells. Now, they're regenerating every day, but you're not completely new for 120 days. That's 4 months. So yes, you can see right results in the beginning, but it's just like anything. It doesn't happen overnight. It's going to happen, and you're going to get stronger and better over a period of 3 to 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Totally, man. Yeah, it's definitely a trade-off worth making. And just kind of jump back into the story real quick. I mean, I thought at one point, you know, like 4 months into it, that there's like no solution at all, that I was screwed, and that, you know, I was going to have to deal with this the rest of my life, and that I'd probably have to stop lifting. And it was really that bad. I mean, it sounds like something that's really kind of minor, but when it takes you out of like what you're doing and kind of changes your lifestyle and how you were like just, you know, into the flow of things, it really can be debilitating. And the fact that I found that there was a cure, and then, you know, later on, I realized that there's, you know, hundreds of other solutions, not just the thing that I did, but there's hundreds of other ways to solve that problem. It was really eye-opening, and not just, you know, the lifting part and fixing, you know, getting me back into the gym, but just kind of in general, just knowing that there's a solution and that there's a lot of solutions, that there's ways to kind of figure out all sorts of problems. Stephen, you mentioned also, too, that you see people for, like, all sorts of kind of you know, injuries and problems and health conditions. Do you ever see people with things like cancer or you know, really serious health conditions like that? And can these things also be treated?
Yes, there literally is an answer to everything that people are dealing with out there. And that's, you know, that's the truth. The issue is that some people have let it go so long that they are at the end stages of that. When you look at your body as an organism, like, let's just talk about it as a plant. If you see a plant starting to wilt, you can bring it back to life. But if you let the leaves literally turn brown and start to crisp up, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really difficult to bring that plant back to life. And so what you need to do in all of these cases, ideally there's trying to prevent cancer in the first place, right? Because about 1 in 3 people right now get cancer. That's a huge number. I mean, if there's 300 million Americans, 100 million Americans are going to get cancer. That's an insane number. Yeah. But that's because we live in a world that promotes cancer or cancerous-based growths. And so there's no – like when people talk about a cure to cancer, what are they really talking about? That's why there is no cure to cancer, because unless you start doing gene editing, like how are you going to take out all of the aluminum in the water, the pollution in the environment, the plastics that we're being exposed to – the hormone disruptors, all those estrogen-based metabolites, the poor food that we're eating, the GMOs, the pesticides, like all of these things are carcinogens. It's not one thing. There's not one thing that puts us over the edge. Yeah, some people do a poorer job at detoxifying, but everybody, every human needs to work on literally detoxifying their body. It's such an important thing. It's something that no one's really talking about right now, and it is the answer. It's the answer to cancer is you know, what they're saying is that you need to work on strengthening your liver. Your liver is that big organ that sits on the right side of your rib cage. Some people, when they run, they kind of get that liver cramp under there. And that is the organ that filters all the blood in your body every 3 minutes. And it does that 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And so you need that to be strong. You need the immune system to be strong. So when you say, you know, like, how do you deal with cancer? Well, it's how we deal with anything, whether it be Alzheimer's or MS or rheumatoid arthritis or autism. It's looking at the underlying root causes of what causes cancer, what causes Alzheimer's, what causes autism. And so we look at these things and we say, okay, well, here's how the person's body is not functioning properly. And then we go about, you know, actually rebalancing those systems and then detoxifying the body. Mm-hmm.
And when you rebalance, like even things like autism, when you rebalance the body, does it sort of cure itself?
So again, that depends on that level of autism. But yes, I mean, I have so many kids in my practice where they came in and as the, you know, so-called executive functioning levels and all those things that they like to, you know, everybody gets a title pinned on them of what disease or, you know, function-based issue that they have is, but when you catch it young enough and you start working on it right away, the results can be literally miraculous, meaning that there's, if you switch to a new teacher the next year, they would see no difference with another child. There might be a few ticks left, a few little things, but for a parent that has a child with autism, this is just unbelievable. This is huge. And I recommend that anybody, you know, who knows anyone with autism, and again, you really do have to catch it young, is that, but you can always work on it. You can always lessen it, but you start to look into enzymes. You start to look into intestinal permeability, the gut itself. You look into the GAPS-based protocol. Again, there's an answer. This took me 20 years of accumulated knowledge, you know, somewhere around 5,000 books. But again, it makes it so much easier with the internet now, because you can start, like, you spend 6 hours. You're not an expert, so don't think you're an expert, but you at least know where to start looking. And I think that's the great thing about obviously the information access that we have now.
Hey guys, I'm happy to announce the Elite Man Conference will be coming soon. That's right. The Elite Man Conference will be this summer, August 6th and 7th in beautiful Plymouth, Massachusetts. We'll be covering everything from business advice, health, fitness, dating, men's fashion, self-defense, social skills, confidence, and so much more. And we'll be featuring over 30 of the best self-development experts from around the world to teach you these incredible skills. Our speakers include world-renowned life coaches, top-ranked business leaders, legendary fitness experts, best-selling authors, world champion athletes, and so many others. Some of our speakers include Dr. Stephen Cabral, Scott McKay, Jason Troy, Andrew Fearby, Kimberly Seltzer, Ted Rice, Sean Russell, and many other incredible thought leaders. Tickets are on sale right now, but act fast as seats are filling up quickly and prices will be going up in just a few short weeks. Go to elitemanconference.com, guys, to reserve your seat. You don't want to miss this two-day life-changing experience. Again, that's elitemanconference.com. Make sure you check it out right now and reserve your spot. And as a special bonus for listening to my podcast today, I'm going to throw in a 33% off coupon for any ticket. That's right. Use coupon code PODCAST33 at checkout to get 33% off any ticket. I really want you guys to come to this event. I guarantee you it's going to be life-changing and amazing. EliteManConference.com, guys. All right. Back to the show now.
This is kind of a sort of random question, but do you think naturopathic doctors are better than regular MDs that most people see anyways?
So this is a great question. I get it quite often. I actually have a lot of MDs, chiropractors, other health practitioners in my own practice as I call the people that I work with wellness clients instead of patients. Clients, I think clients comes from the word or from the meaning to care for or under the care of. And I like that so much better. When you think of a patient, I almost think of like a number in a practice, right? Mm-hmm. So I get to see the most people I see is 6 to 8 people a day. Now, the MDs I work with, they see 30 to 40 people per day. Wow. It's like assembly line. And that's because I don't take insurance, so I don't have to play by those rules. MDs are actually forced to play by the rules of the health insurance companies. And so a lot of it, like, I don't blame MDs. Like, that's how they have to operate. What I blame is the medical system for teaching MDs only one way of looking at a problem, whereas if they come in with a certain issue, they must get X, meaning, like, they must be prescribed this medication. Because if someone comes to me with that has high cholesterol, I can easily help them rebalance that high cholesterol level. And the reason is I'm not treating cholesterol. I'm not looking at cholesterol. I'm looking at inflammation. I'm looking at basically arterial-based buildup. I'm looking at all these different things of why they might have that high cholesterol in the first place, genetic-based markers that we can work with. So here's what I always say. I studied all around the world for a year during my internships. I was in India, China, Sri Lanka. I was in Europe and then in the U.S., of course. And so here's what I found is I found that this is how I went into it. I said, in my degree, everyone in the world believes their type of medicine is the best. Traditional Chinese medicine is the best. Ayurvedic medicine is the best. Taoist is the best. Conventional medicine is the best. Acupuncture is the best. So I said, okay, let's see who's really the best. And I studied in all of these different hospitals and clinics and actually lived in those clinics as a resident alongside many of the patients. And I got to see, are these people really getting better? Does acupuncture really work for everyone? And so what I found was this, that every system of medicine is the best. It really is. But you have to know when to use that system of medicine and with what person. And so when someone comes to me, I don't have to say, okay, well, you're only getting homeopathy or you're only getting acupuncture, you're only getting whatever. You're getting whatever's best for you, whatever's needed for you. And if that is a pharmaceutical-based drug, well, of course, I'm not going to be the one to give it to them, but I can refer out to an MD if needed. Now, I've never had to do that. I don't believe there's ever a call for that unless you have something life-threatening. If you have a staph infection that could easily kill you, well, you know what? Don't take a chance. Then that's one of those few times I recommend antibiotics. But for everyone else, if you're dealing with, you know, cough, cold, sinus issues, really, there's never a need to take pharmaceuticals. Unless it's life-threatening, I just don't see a need for it. So I don't think there's a better than. I like everyone to be able to play nice in the sandbox. But there's a lot of egos in our industry. And I just simply say, use what you need at the specific time in your life. That's it.
Mm-hmm. I like that answer. It kind of reminds me of sort of like the UFC, like mixed martial arts. It's not like jiu-jitsu is better than wrestling or wrestling's better than boxing. It's kind of like each has their own place and you can kind of use one, you know, whenever you need it.
Well, now they're finding, I mean, I'm a big UFC fan. And if you're one-dimensional, you're always going to lose. Oh, you might win a few fights, but like, you just, because everybody knows that weak point. Like, okay, if you are a stand-up fighter, they'll take you to the ground. So, and I think that's the same thing. If someone comes to me and I'm one-dimensional, well, maybe I can help 50% of the people, but what about those other 50% of the people? And, you know, the truth is that's why you see so many books and so many studies work so great for so many people, and then other people are like, well, it didn't work for me. It didn't work for them because that because of bio-individuality, meaning like everyone is different. I mean, like there is no one diet for every single person. It's absurd to think that. I mean, you just look at body types and you can say like, wow, that person has calves like, you know, Easter hams. They're enormous. And so, of course, that person can't have the same program as someone who with really small joints and tiny calves and a smaller frame. They're going to be the hard gainer. They're going to be, you know, someone that has a little bit more of challenge. They're more catabolic. They break down more easily. They're more prone to certain health issues, where the larger body type, like that endomorph or the kapha body type, they're more prone to things like type 2 diabetes and high blood pressure, just because like that is their genotype. And so again, anyway, that's some of the stuff that I specialize in and that I enjoy helping people with.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. The one size fits all approach certainly doesn't work. And yeah, I think that's a pretty good analogy, the UFC one. I'm a big UFC fan as well, too. So, Steven, you mentioned it a moment ago about detoxifying the blood or liver, I should say. What are some of the best ways to do that?
So, here's the thing. Just full disclosure, and this isn't me promoting anything. The number one thing that worked in our practice is basically a detoxification-based protocol, and I just want to take you through it. Mm-hmm. So the liver works in two ways. It is that organ. It's like a car filter. Think of it this way. So you're driving down the highway at 80 miles an hour, and you're taking in all of the smog. You're taking in bugs and debris and all these different things, and your car filter, that stuff that takes in that air from the air filter, is allowing it to catch all of that stuff that you don't want to breathe in. And so what happens is your liver does the same exact thing in your blood. It just catches all the stuff that shouldn't be there, the carcinogens, the byproducts of the grilled-based meats that everybody likes, you know, all that black charred things. Well, those are all carcinogens. Those are cancer-forming things, and your liver needs to help detoxify that. So what it does is it works in two ways. It's called phase one and phase two liver detoxification. And without boring people to death, all that means is that you're using antioxidants to take these fat-soluble toxins that – I mean, people forget, when you lose body fat, your adipose tissue, is actually 300 times more toxic than your blood, which means every time you oxidize body fat, all those toxins are then released in your bloodstream. And you better hope that your liver and white blood cells are activating, you know, well enough to be able to clean that up. So anyway, your liver goes through two processes and turns it from a fat soluble to a intermediary metabolite. And then these water soluble metabolites are created by sulfur-based amino acids. So basically the first phase is like vitamin C, and it's glutamine, and it's B vitamins, and it's vitamin E. And the second phase are things like N-acetylcysteine and glutathione and sulfur-based amino acids like things from broccoli, sulforaphane. And that's what helps take these harmful chemicals and turns them into something water-soluble that you can just pee out, poop out, or sweat out. And that's the great thing about the body, is that it can detoxify itself. So what we do is we actually use a detox system that – because a lot of people can't afford – to see a naturopathic doctor. They can't afford to run functional medicine tests. I mean, that would be the absolute best thing, of course. But if you can't do that, what can you do? Well, you'll get at least, I would say, 60 to 80% of the benefit by doing a detoxification-based protocol that lasts for 7, 14, or 21 days, just depending on your wellness-based issues or your weight loss issues. And what that does, it just knocks down inflammation, it regulates blood sugar, it helps to regulate hormones, and it gets you started on basically a healthy eating plan, a healthy eating nutrition plan. Now, again, I'm not self-promoting this. I want you to go to the website, and you can actually see the plan. I lay everything out, and I'll tell you what. So it's drcabraldetox.com, just drcabraldetox.com. And what it does is it shows you the food plan that I give people, again, all free of charge. My goal for 2016 and beyond now is just to give away all of my content, like literally everything I know that will help people get well. They'll lose weight and they'll live longer. And the thing is, a few of those people might engage in some of our services, and that's great. But my thing right now is really being in this industry for this long is to try to give away as much of that information as possible. One, because it's enjoyable for me, but also I get to then work with so many other great partners basically in health and you know, guys like yourself as well. So anyway, that's where the most pleasure I get.
Thanks, man. Sweet. No, that sounds pretty good. What were some of the ones in phase one again? I heard B vitamins. What else was it in?
Yeah, so when you want to think about phase one, think of it more like your antioxidants and your B vitamins. So like vitamin C is vital, vitamin E, glutamine plays a process in both the initial phase and the second phase as well. So vitamin C, vitamin E, all of your B vitamins all play a role. So those are the main ones. Again, there are many more, but the key players are then the N-acetylcysteine, which is a precursor to things like glutathione, which is the most powerful antioxidant that you could take. I mean, typically it's your liver producing that, so we give the precursors to that. But also there's a product called reduced glutathione or liposomal glutathione that works incredibly well. So when you're talking about, you know, how do you help people with cancer, things like that, well, you get the liver to work better. That's a first part, because if you're killing cancer cells, you better make sure that you're detoxifying all those poisonous cancer-based cells out of your body as well. So selenium, N-acetylcysteine, zinc, all of those are great.
Cool. And how often should you do a detox?
So it depends on the level that's needed. So in Ayurvedic medicine and all of the – every form of medicine before the last 200 years always included seasonal-based detoxification, because every season changes and your body changes along with that. And so they've actually seen that in science now. Your microbiome, your gut, your basically your intestinal flora, all those probiotics, believe it or not, if you were living in nature and actually eating the foods locally that are produced around you, your gut microbiome actually changes. The bacteria changes to be able to digest and manufacture the vitamins and minerals and neurotransmitters, everything else that it needs from what's around you. So it's pretty amazing. So so seasonally, basically, the really important times to do it are in the fall and in the spring. So if you're only going to do it twice, you do it as winter is transitioning to spring. It removes a lot of that heat the body's been storing over the winter. You know, in the winter, we naturally crave more of those warm foods, the comfort foods, the acids like the meats and products like that. And again, you don't have to eat meat, but it's the body craves those warmer things, like less salads, and you want things that heat your body, keep you warm. And then during the spring, you want to remove that. You want to help detoxify and move into the damp and warm season. And the other great time to do it, besides obviously the fall, but the other great time to do it is when you hit a plateau with your weight loss or body transformation. It's one of the most powerful ways to lose 5 pounds in a week safely and naturally. And the reason is, once people start to plateau, it's sometimes not just body fat. Everyone thinks of losing body fat, but a lot of times our bodies are inflamed. And when our bodies are inflamed, we start to look a little softer, meaning that we're holding more water between our muscles and our skin, subcutaneous water. And that isn't from natural hydration. This is toxic water weight. This is inflammation-based water weight. It's like if you get punched in the arm, your arm starts to swell, and it swells because of inflammation. Well, that can happen at systemic level as well. When you swell from a systemic level, you're inflamed. And so that can easily be dealt with a detox, a natural detox. And so we basically put people on a very clean elimination-based diet plan for 7 days if they're looking to lose 5 to 10 pounds, 14 days if they're looking to lose more than 10, and 21 days if they're looking to lose more than 15 pounds. And for wellness-based, if you have a wellness-based issue, like let's say an autoimmune-based disease, we want you to just do the 21-day.
Mm-hmm. Cool, man. That sounds pretty interesting. Sort of switching gears a little bit, we did want to talk about hormones. What are some of the best ways, I guess, to optimize your hormones right now? What are some of the easiest ways?
I like to get into the science. And again, I think this is becoming more popular now because everyone talks about like hacking your body and all of these different types of things. I actually hate the term, you know, hacking your body, because it makes it sound like it's a machine or a computer.
Yeah.
But it's really this intricate living organism that it can't be hacked, because when people try to hack it, there's everything in your body I always refer to as like a teeter-totter or a seesaw. And when you push down too hard on one side, something goes wrong on the other side. And that's shown. I mean, if you're a big keto person, I can give you all the reasons why a keto diet could benefit you, and then all the reason why a keto diet can hurt you. And so you have to be just really careful going too far in any one direction. So what I like to do is I like to do a 24-hour cortisol test, cortisol hormone test. And what I do is I use – it's a saliva test. You literally just spit into a tube, very simple. You can do it right at home, and you do it when you wake up, before lunch, mid-afternoon, when you start to get that little lull, if you do, and then before bed. So if you're someone that can't sleep, if that's wired, we do that right before bed, and we look for high cortisol levels. There's a lot of people who believe they're night owls. all of those people, I hate to break it, that's not true. No one is a natural night owl, and that's called a broken diurnal rhythm. And diurnal just means that we're supposed to have a big spike in cortisol in the morning to wake us up naturally with lots of energy, and then it decreases as the day progresses, and that's called the diurnal rhythm, high and low. Now, if you get a spike at night, well, that's now shown to produce less melatonin. It's more fight or flight based response, more sympathetic stress, and it's actually been shown to shorten lifespan. So yes, you could be a night owl because you enjoy working at night, but I can tell you that it's not a natural process. And again, easy way to solve that is go sleep in a tent under the stars and the moon and the sun for 3 weeks. And believe me, you'll start waking up at 5:36 and you'll be going to bed around 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at the latest, because no matter what, you're getting up with that sun. That's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. So it will reset. But I like to do the hormone testing. It's a lab. A bunch of different labs run it. We have one. And again, use whatever lab you feel comfortable. See a functional medicine doctor. See a naturopathic doctor that specializes in this. Because again, any type of doctor is like, get to look at what they specialize in. And so that's kind of what I always recommend. You can see what we offer, which is just at stephencrabal.com/store. And you can see that hormone test. The reason I like this one as well is that you're looking at your testosterone levels, your DHEA, your estrogen, and your progesterone, besides the cortisol. So you can see that if your testosterone is starting to dip and your DHEA is starting to dip, but your estrogen levels are starting to go up, well, that's not a great thing for guys. You're basically, you're having the same hormone profile as like a 60-year-old woman. And that's obviously a really bad thing. And so, things happen. I see those profiles all the time. Like guys come in with low testosterone, low T as they call it. And they're coming in with low T in their like 30s. And that's a huge issue. And that's because their bodies are getting burnt out. They're shunting too much hormone over to that fight or flight based response, cortisol. And that takes preferential treatment because it's the survival hormone. And testosterone starts to dip. So we never supplement with testosterone. I think it's a really bad idea. Really bad idea. I have no problem as needed supplementing with a little DHEA and a little bit of precursor to other things, but not necessarily with testosterone, because then testosterone can be converted to DHT, dihydrotestosterone, which can cause back hair, something that not a lot of guys want, and it also can cause prostate issues. So we don't want that either. Or it can be converted to estrogen. And again, you can get gynecomastia, which is enlargement of breast tissues on men, extra moodiness, irritability, anxiety, being feelings of overwhelmed. We don't want any of those things. So yeah, for me, I like to lab test. I think it's well worth it if you're going through any of those symptoms. If not, what you're trying to do is actually lower stress levels and then use something like natural herbal adaptogen, something with like ashwagandha and rhodiola it's called an adaptogen. Meaning if you get too stressed, it helps bring you back down a little bit. And if you get too low in energy, it helps bring you back up. So some of my favorites are maca, which is a libido enhancer as well, ashwagandha, and rhodiola. Those are great.
Are those herbs kind of safe to take just regularly anyways? Or would you like say you needed to kind of test to see that you had low testosterone or higher estrogen before you got on one of those?
So those aren't going to directly affect testosterone or estrogen. What they do is they help balance stress, and by balancing stress, you can ask your body to produce less cortisol so then it can start producing more testosterone. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So basically it's like that teeter-totter again. If you push your body too hard and you're too stressed, what it does is say, okay, we're going to give more to this left side of the chart, cortisol, and we're going to give less to that right side of the chart, testosterone. So I'm actually going to go – I'll have slides at the Elite Man Conference, and I'll be able to show this in more depth. It's so important. Everybody should know just a little bit about their biochemistry so they don't have to start using like crazy supplements or crazy drugs. But this one, that herbal adaptogen, it's dealing more with stress, and so it's very, very safe to take. I'm big on not necessarily taking any herbal-based supplement or anything kind of for the rest of your life, but in periods that when you need it specifically. It doesn't mean you can't take it for the rest of your life. And there's nothing wrong with it. Great studies behind it. But supplements are just like anything else. You use a nutritional supplement when your body needs it. You're supplementing your body to help it out. And when it doesn't need it anymore, then you can take it out.
Mm-hmm. I heard somewhere, I don't know if this is true, but like what is the optimal – sort of, I think it's milligrams that they measure testosterone in, but what's the optimal milligrams for testosterone? Is it like 800 or so for a guy?
Yeah, and that's a decent number right there. Absolutely. It just depends on what the lab test is you're looking at. So some lab tests go to 1200. And so a lot of times when I see guys with 400 or below, I know that they have low testosterone production. The issue is that that's blood-based testing. And so when you're looking at blood-based testing, it's showing you total testosterone. And that doesn't tell you exactly how much is free testosterone or how much is bound up, meaning like your body never gets to see it, never gets to use it. So I like the saliva-based testing. It shows you free testosterone, actually shows you what your body is actually getting to use. That's very important to me. But on the other hand, you know, meaning like if you can't afford the functional medicine test and you just have your blood test done once a year with your PCP, you know, if you have low total testosterone, well, then you can assume your low free testosterone is low as well. So, you know, that is one way to look at it. But if you feel like you have low testosterone, but your blood tests show that it's pretty good, well, then that's when you really want to do test the saliva-based testing.
Mm-hmm. Cool, man. You mentioned sleep, dieting, and supplements. Is there anything else you can kind of think of for optimizing your hormones before we sort of wrap things up?
Yeah, your nutrition plays such a huge role. A lot of people think that stress only comes from the outside, the external, the exogenous-based forms in our life, which is like our relationships, our family, our work, our drive, all of those things. But there are hidden forms of stress in our body as well, and those can be actually worse because they can be occurring 24 hours a day. And a lot of people have digestive-based issues that they're not really even aware of, meaning like they're not even aware that they're constipated because they're not having one or two bowel movements a day. They're not aware that they get bloated and that they have, you know, digestive-based issues, that they have to stay away from so many different foods. Or they might have viruses, you know, like Epstein-Barr virus, or they might have herpes viruses that run rampant in their body. And those things, again, wear on the body. They wear their body down. And whenever you wear your body down, it's just like kind of like – I don't even know the analogy, so I'm not going to do it justice. But it's like death by a 1,000 tiny cuts. I don't know if you know the exact term.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. It's just like your body – there's no – sometimes there's one major thing, like meaning like you go overseas and you get a parasite or you get a bacterial infection. Okay, that's one major thing. But for most people, disease and aging and like entropy and not feeling very just great overall, they feel like blah, that doesn't happen overnight. That happens over years of just this wearing away in the body. And your body literally runs on the fuel you put in it. So if you're putting in these heavy foods like heavy meats and heavy fried foods all the time, think about it. That your body has to use energy to digest that. And most of our – so about a third of our energy goes to digestion. So if you're asking your body to use that much energy for digestion, you have that less energy for all of the ambition that you want in your life. And so what I would say is have a lighter breakfast. A lot of people say start the day with a big breakfast. I actually – my number one thing for everyone listening to this podcast is have a smoothie for breakfast. Have something that's already been pre-digested. I mean, how much energy do you really need to expend if you're eating basically baby food, right? Like if you're eating mush – your body says, thank you. Now you don't have to expend all of these enzymes and all of this, produce all of this hydrochloric acid and bile to break all this food down. You've already done it for me. So now you don't need as much coffee. So you're not going to crash. And you're putting in, you know, a good, I call an all-in-one powder. So it has like your protein powder and it has your vitamins and your minerals. Everything's just in that pre-digested form. And then you can blend that with some blueberries and maybe a banana, and you can add in some flax seeds or some chia seeds if you want. You know, make it fun. Maybe add in some of that maca powder or some of the superfoods that are so popular. Make it enjoyable and then make it big. I mean, add at least 16 ounces of fluid to that, maybe half water and half of a nut milk, a half almond milk or half coconut milk. See how that does for you. I really believe that that tip alone, I mean, that can revolutionize a person's life. It really can. It doesn't seem like that much. But also think about this, what it's not doing, what you're not consuming then the cereal, the processed carbohydrates, the sugar. You're not waking up and having a glass of like orange juice like most people do, which is just colored sugar water. I mean, it's just been heated. It's processed. There's hardly any vitamins left in it. You know, if you're looking for vitamin C, take a supplement. You're going to get so much more out of it than, you know, the 30 milligrams and a little bit of, you know, orange juice that's just been heated up and processed. It has no enzymes left in it. There's nothing left to it. So that would be my big takeaway is, you know, is really look into your body, really. And that's what it is. All I teach is take control of your body. Kind of takes us back to full circle, the very beginning. Very beginning, we talked about this is your life. You know, I mean, other people will be there to help you out. There'll be coaches you'll look to. There'll be mentors you'll look to. Even to this day, I don't assume that I know everything. I'm still reading multiple books per week. Even if I only get one little nugget from it, I'm happy with that. It's one more thing I can add, you know, to my repertoire. And so this is an ongoing process. People shouldn't think they need to perfect it tomorrow. But what they do need to do is realize that this is, it's up to you. I mean, this is up to you. This life, if you're waiting for someone else to rescue you, it just doesn't happen. And I realized that at a young age. And I think that's, you know, what gave me the drive to try to teach it to others. And yes, I mean, my profession is medicine, but really what am I trying to do is I'm really just trying to help people live their best life and get the most out of life. And I've realized that from myself as well, that if I'm not feeling well, if I don't wake up with energy, I have a bad day. It's just the way it is. And I don't want to have any bad days. So that's how I look at it.
Awesome, man. Sounds good. Certainly been a blast chatting with you. Is there any last sort of takeaway message in a place you'd like to send our listeners to?
Sure. Yeah, my takeaway message is those two things, really. It is that to become self-reliant, to realize that there's nothing wrong with looking to other people for the answers, but no one's going to do the work for you. And that's not a bad thing, because it's by doing the work that you build your own character. You develop who you are. And that's why you don't have to have all the answers. You just have to get started. You have to start doing the work. And then I also want people to realize that you don't need perfection tomorrow, and you don't want it, because that means you've reached the end of your journey. And I can tell you, like, as someone who's, you know, tried to accomplish a lot and do a lot, that if you ever reach a goal, you're kind of like, oh, okay, that was great, but now what's my next goal? So don't be so urgent that you need to achieve everything tomorrow. That can add to more stress. So I focus more on progress, not perfection. That took me a decade to learn. So hopefully you'll learn it faster than me. You'll burn yourself out less than I did. And you realize that, you know, half the fun is really part of the process. As long as you're making headway, as long as you're moving up that chart, I think that's the goal. That should be the goal in and of itself. And the best way people could connect with me is just go to stephencabral.com. It's stephencabral.com. And there you can find my podcast, which is called The Cabral Concept. It's a free daily podcast. It's only 10 minutes long. We give tips, everything from mindset and motivation to wellness to weight loss to training to our Friday review. We answer questions every week. So, yeah, for me, it's just about, you know, it's giving back. It's trying to be of service to people and just putting good out in the world. That's basically it.
Thanks a lot, Stephen. I appreciate your time, man. I know our listeners are going to love this, and can't wait to have you at the conference.
Excellent. I'm really looking forward to it, and hopefully everyone, I get to see you there and meet you in person.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting shows. Subscribe now and get the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. All right, guys, that's it. Until next time, take care.